Your Friends at Smile, this is Most Clicked, a podcast about digital marketing in the higher education sector. I'm your host, Nathan from Smile. I'm joined by my other co-founder, Matt Lees, and also bringing some additional insight today, it's our long-standing collaborator, Kyle Campbell from the Education Marketer. This week, we are talking about a story that I had come across in, where was it from?
The
The
Independent.
Independent.ie. No idea how I came across it, but it is about University College Dublin. I think they were offering email for life as kind of a perk for their students. And then recently, they U-turned and they said in January 2023, they're turning it all off. It sounds like they were in like a Google environment. So reading through some of the comments, there's people talking about their Google Drive contents as well. So I actually think this is bigger than just email. But nonetheless, the comments are very telling when you remove a perk that you promised.
I was
Kyle,
going to say, it's interesting because it's wider than email, obviously, isn't it? Because I was trying to imagine people kind of getting out on the streets with placards because their email's been shut down. It doesn't seem like the kind of thing that would happen in a modern university campus, but that is interesting that it's a wider sort of ecosystem, Google Drive access and all that. And from running my own small business, I can definitely say that you get the email naturally, but there's loads of different tools in that Google suite. So kind of backtracking from that seems to be a bit of a negative thing in my eyes. But at the same time, email for life. Wow. I didn't know that was still a thing or a perk that was sold. I find that really remarkable, to be honest.
yeah, well, I wonder how much it's used by people.
I reckon it's one of those things that like this a small but vocal minority are like, yeah, this is what I signed up for, email for life. I can't imagine it gets
No,
huge taken.
that's quite a hill to die on, isn't it? Like.
I mean, it really is. And there was a comment in the article. I'm just trying to find it here. But somebody was like, oh, everything is in this email account my entire life. And I can kind of get it. Like if you use Google for stuff, like it's very easy to just suddenly have, I mean, like my Google Photos collection, I've got nearly 20 years worth of photos in my Google Photos library now. It'd be horrible if you weren't in control of that. And then somebody just goes, yeah, turning that off. No. So I do get it. I'm in that some of the more technical circles that I work within, there seems to have been a bit of a conversation about how do we get back to offering email for life? I think because it's possibly with the advent of like Office 365 and Google, it's probably a lot easier to offer that as a perk. I don't know about costings or anything like that, but
So what's
I don't
the
know.
email for, so obviously I'm just trying to work out what the benefit is to a young person, to a student and an organization. So for an organization, it's security, I imagine, is the main benefit of having an email for life. But the benefit of having an email used to be that you got an email account, right? Because that was the thing that not everyone had, and they went to university, and that was one of the things that they got. So, what's in those groups? What's the benefit being sold to the audience side in that respect?
It's got to be prime student accounts, right?
Oh, right. I didn't. Oh my God. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, that
Prime,
makes total
Amazon
sense.
Prime for life.
Not that any university staff cons ac.uk email addresses.
Of
It's
course
all right, we
not.
won't tell anyone. I really don't know. I think, and I don't know, but I think that the whole email for life thing was pioneered maybe by like Harvard, and there was an element of prestige, I reckon. It's like, oh, they've got a Harvard.edu email address. Wow, they're part of the elite. Does Does that work for every university? Does it work in 2022 when anybody can get whatever email they want?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
I mean, no. it doesn't, does it? But it doesn't mean, I guess emails, you still need an email address, don't you? Unless you kind of go into like the, because that seems to be the way that we connect with apps, and it's the portal, isn't it? Unless you go down like the web free route and it gets hideously complicated and hard to use. But I don't think an email address today with young people would have a brand cachet with it.
No, we've got to be talking in a professional capacity, haven't we? And perhaps, if you've been to Harvard Law School or Business School, maybe that holds some weight, but I don't know that I'd use my university's email address.
I distinctly remember, I'm not going to name check the university I went to, but I felt forced into my university's email, and it felt like a huge inconvenience to me. I was like, I've already got several email addresses.
I don't need another one.
And I bet there's a lot of reasons that it makes sense, logging into apps and stuff like that. And we talked actually about, I can't remember, I think maybe Northampton, and they offered like a suite of perks for joining. Mm-hmm. And one of those was like, you get Office 365, so you get access to Word and PowerPoint and LinkedIn Learning as a result of this email address. And I think that, for me, is the value nowadays, is that an email address isn't for email. No. An email address is a key.
It's a passport, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly that. And I guess maybe this is what University College Dublin is thinking, is that you can't just continue to offer that passport for life. I'm sure that there are very real costs associated to that, and after 20 years worth of alumni, who knows? But it's also a very different system to the US, where we lots of universities in Europe are kind of trying to drum up alumni donations, and they're trying to make that a revenue center, but it's nothing like the US culture.
Not at all. I've read recently about Princeton. I don't know if you saw it in the newsletter, but they can now operate independent of research grants and student fees. They could take students for free. And they already do in some respects. Like, if you come from a household in the US, you go to Princeton, your household earns less than £80,000 a year, you get a free education. That's insane. but a serious perk, right? But they can afford to do it. That's the key.
Absolutely. And I guess that what we're saying here is that there isn't a business model attached to email for life here. It feels like somebody's gone, how can we, like, what other perks can we give somebody? And they're like, oh, this doesn't cost us very much in the here and now. And maybe a takeaway here is not just thinking about perks in the short term, but thinking about how you can utilize that to continually generate revenue. Like, maybe you only offer maybe you make these things exclusive by saying you can continue to have your ucd.ie email address for life if you donate to our alumni donations in some way, shape or form. And then you are kind of part of a very small cohort of people that keep that email address, and it is seen as something a bit more special, or
part of the club.
If I could pay my university like via an email address to access all of these, like Adobe Suite or whatever it was, I'd do it. Oh my God, take my money. Because clearly they make a saving on the mass license that they get. Whereas me as an independent business, you pay the fee, don't you? But if that's a really good thought, actually. So unis, to make alumni a revenue generator, they could almost charge access to these tools and these suites at a really welcoming rate and still make money off the back of it. So that's a good thought, Nath. That's nice.
Thank you very much. Well, I think that wraps up this week's episode. Thank you to both Matt and Kyle, as always. And thank you to all of our subscribers. If you've enjoyed today's content, like or indeed subscribe. And otherwise, see you next time. Bye.